Good evening. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say this: We, that's a reference to Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, give thanks to God the Father always for all of you believers in Christ, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope in union with our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. Just as Paul and Silvanus and Timothy were granted the opportunity to thank the believers in Thessalonica for their faithfulness to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so I begin by thanking John and Monica Miller for their labor of love and their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ in hosting for the third time this Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference. Barah Ministries is a Christian church based in Gilbert, Arizona, and we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with Him, and He has charged us with bringing the gospel message to unbelievers, the good news concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross to provide us all with a so great salvation. He has charged us with teaching the Word of God to believers in Christ for their comfort and encouragement, for their admonition and warning, and for their exhortation. And He has charged us with doing missionary work by mentoring aspiring pastors and by establishing independent churches throughout the world who can engage in the same labor of love for Christ for which we have chosen to lay down our lives. May grace and peace be multiplied to all of you from the three separate and distinct persons of a triune Godhead, God the Father. I know what you mean. Every time I hear about God the Father, I get excited too, I swear. From God the Father, from God the Son, from God the Holy Spirit, and from the physical manifestation of the members of the Godhead, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Sovereign of the universe, the uniquely born one, 100% God and 100% man, united in one person forever. Thank you for being here when you could be out doing something else. I will ask you to consider several things in this lesson. First of all, are you saved? Do you know what's going to happen to you when you close your eyes in this life? This matter refers to your salvation, and if you are not yet saved, in this lesson you'll learn the issues of salvation so that you'll have the opportunity to be saved. Second, I'll ask you to consider your individual life. If you were face-to-face with the Lord Jesus Christ right now, your Creator, and He asked you, what are you doing with this life that I gave to you, how would you respond? And it's a question that is worth considering, and this matter refers to your life as a Christian. In this lesson, I'm going to ask you to reflect on how your life is going and what you're learning from how it's going. Third, I'll ask you to consider your collective life. How, if at all, does your life matter to others? What difference does your life make in the life of those around you? Does it even matter that you're on the planet? This matter asks you to reflect on the Christian way of living. How are you influencing and contributing to the lives of others? Now, I can say with great certainty that John and Monica Miller pass these three tests with flying colors. They are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are learning about the Christian way of life. And this conference is proof that they are engaged in the Christian way of living. I love my brother in Christ, John, and my sister in Christ, Monica, and at their request, it is my pleasure to travel north from Phoenix to be with you tonight for this Bible study. Bible study is a time of renewing. It is a time to learn about all the divine assets that are at your disposal. So we ask you to assess for yourself where your soul is constantly tuned. Is your soul tuned to the broadcast of KCOS, the cosmos? The Bible calls it the world system of thought that is sponsored by God's enemy? Or is your soul tuned to the broadcast of WGOD, God's system of thinking that is communicated from the Word of God, the Bible? Only you and God know the answer to this question. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 requests that you be renewed by God in the spirit of your mind. And so that's why we come to Bible study, to be renewed by God in the spirit of our mind. So thank you for coming to receive this renewing. Thank you for listening to this broadcast from WGOD. And thank you in advance for sharing this message with everyone you know. So this year, we have taken our song worship leader, June Murphy, off of punishment. She's been on travel punishment for a couple of years because we took her on a trip and she lost her wallet. And that was decidedly inconvenient. So this year, so she has finally, by overwhelming request, been taken off of travel punishment. So she's here to sing for you today. And as God prepares your soul for the renewing of this lesson, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is Come See a Man.
For most of my life, I felt like a woman of ill repute. For the things that I've done and what was done to me, I felt I was of no use. Like the woman who spoke to Jesus alone looking for a drink. I'd been looking for love in all the wrong places, helpless, needy, and weak. But since I've come to know Jesus, by faith and grace alone, I will proclaim this invitation to the world, to all I know, and I will sing, come see a man who and the love that I need. Come see a man that won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. Come see a man who gives life eternal, who's the bread of life, living water. Second chances, who gives new birth? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation from the power of sin and death. I've been set free. All the guilt and shame I carried from my past was nailed with Christ to the tree. And I know that has happened to me has passed through the Father's hands. faithful and just to allow it all as part of his master plan. And he's not ashamed of me. I am his child. He calls me his own. And I belong to my beloved Savior. And from him I will never ever roam. And I'm telling you that I know a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. I know a man that won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. I know a man who gives life eternal, who's the bread of life, living water for your thirst. I know a man who gives life eternal, who gives second chances, who gives new birth. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is
Jesus. Pull a little mini Ripperton on us, huh? Get up way high. Awesome. Thanks, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross so that we could have the possibility of relationship with you. Thank you for giving us the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to strengthen us. Thank you for surrounding us tonight with like-minded people who edify us. But most of all, thank you for allowing us to be tormented by your enemy, so that we may experience the power of your plan for mankind and the power of your personal plan for each one of us. Thank you for having each of us personally in mind by name for all eternity. And thank you for making the perfect provision for our welfare, including the chance to hear the insights that you'll be providing for us on this night. Make your thoughts clear to us, especially on how they apply to the life that you want us to live. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Greetings. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, and it is a gift given to me by God to help you develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is his exact thinking, and it is more than just a book. It is the source of the exact thinking of God, and we are the intended recipients. The Bible contains no errors, no contradictions, no lies. The Bible is the absolute truth. Welcome to a place where you can receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. Tonight's study is a question. How important is the Lord Jesus Christ and his Word in your life? How important is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word in your life? So it's really a great thing to be here. I've been here for a week. I got in on Monday, and last year it was a plan to come in early to play the Coeur d'Alene Golf Resort course for a couple of times. But also, Monica and John thought it would be a good idea that I got together with several of you for dinner. And that was a really delightful experience this week to get together with five different families and just have a chance to talk. And so I really appreciate that. I want to express my appreciation. It's always fun to come on these trips. They are primarily evangelistic in nature. And Barah Ministries puts up 3 different lessons a week on the internet. They're available by podcast. And so you can listen to us all the time. And we don't charge anything for the Word of God. So we have June's CDs in the back and books that I've written and Bibles. And so please help yourself to those. You're more than welcome to them, both here in the study and then afterward. So tonight's study is the question, how important is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word in your life? And I'll tell you why I'm asking the question before we even get into the lesson. I'm asking the question because I think most people today have the attention span of a grape. I think that we are so pulled in so many directions by so many things. And very seldom, in my experience, are the things that we're pulled by. Come on in. Very seldom, in my experience, are the things that we're pulled by the things that are really significant in this life, not only for now, but for all eternity. And one of those things is the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those people is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those things is the Word of God. And so I'd like to call you to evaluate yourselves in the matter of how you are assimilating the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and how you're assimilating His Word into your life and where it stands in your priority list. Because the truth of the matter is, I hear a lot of people, as I listen to the families this week, I heard a lot of different stories, but they had a common theme, and it was pressure. And I wonder what it is that you think about when you get under that pressure. I wonder if you think about the thing that can bail you out of that pressure. And so that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, because the Lord Jesus Christ is a person who can bail you out of any pressure. And His Word is something that puts a calm in the soul that is absolutely amazing. And I will tell you for a fact that this is true. If I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God in my life, I would have put a bullet in my head a long time ago. Because in my opinion, this life is not worth living. There is nothing that is appealing about it without the Lord Jesus Christ and without His Word. And every time I thought about something as preposterous as that, taking my own life, as if anybody would care, the world would stop for about 30 seconds to clean up the blood and then go right back to beating just like it was before. But when you think of things that are that preposterous, you know, to take your own life, because you're so disgusted and so bored with it that you don't see any other alternative. To have something as powerful as the sovereign of the universe on your side and to have something as magnificent as the absolute truth to lend the clarity and the order to our souls that gets us into the next footstep, that gets one foot in front of the other during those rough times is absolutely amazing. I'm committed to Him, I'm committed to it, and I'm absolutely delighted to be able to share this with you tonight. So tonight's study, it asks you the question, how important is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word in your life? And this isn't something that you can do lip service to. See, I can ask you how important it is for you to take care of your nutrition, and you can say, oh yeah, I eat a lot of fat-free food, lemon heads. It's a fat-free food, right? And you can kid yourself about that. But about this, you can't kid yourself about this, because this is reflected by how you spend your time. It's reflected on your schedule. If the Lord Jesus Christ is a relationship for you, you have to know His Word. And if you're going to know His Word, that has to be a part of your schedule. And you know what? Survivor is probably a part of your schedule. The Amazing Race is probably a part of your schedule. Mad Men is probably a part of your schedule. But is the Word of God, and I picked those because those are my faves. But is the Word of God part of your schedule? That's what I want you to ask yourself and to tell yourself the truth about it. And is the Lord Jesus Christ even important to you? Because, you know, Christians are always going around talking about, yeah, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. Really? Tell me 10 things about Jesus Christ that you know. No, 10 things. Tell me 10 things about his essence. Wait a minute. If you know me and somebody asks you to describe me, you got to say something. It's not. It's, well, he's just, he's always fair, he's righteous, he's free from sin, he's sovereign, nothing happens in the universe without his permission, he's omniscient, he knows all the knowable, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere I am all the time, he's omnipotent, he has all the power, he loves me unconditionally, he's immutable, he never changes, so when he gave me salvation, he would never dream of taking it back, and there's nothing I could do to change it. He's veracity, he always tells the truth, and he's eternal. He has no beginning and no ending. He's amazing. Anything else you want to know about him? How much time you got? See, if we're Christians and we have a relationship, we know something about the being that we have a relationship with, and the only way to know that in this age is through the study of the Word of God. In this age, there are no dreams, no visions, no conversations with God. He talks to us through his Word, the inerrant canon of Scripture. And so if you want to know this person who thought enough of you personally to go to the cross and to give his life for you, and if it had been only you, he would have still done it, then you have to study his word to know it. And I'm here to encourage you to do that tonight, because there is nothing better than that. All right, so let's get started with this study. First of all, Christianity is a secret weapon for your benefit. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with the sovereign being of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And those of us who are Christians don't go around wearing T-shirts that boast, I am a Christian. We don't sit down to conversations with others and begin them with, what do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? But perhaps we should. After all, as believers in Christ, we don't have access to the miracles today like the apostles did, to call attention to God's message. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12 say this, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Notice that God, not Paul, was performing the miracles. Men do not, nor have they ever had the power to perform miracles. It has always been God who is in charge of performing miracles, either himself or through others. Well, I assure you that I have no such power. So put your handkerchiefs away. I assure you that the evil spirits will leave with you just as sure as they came in with you. But it is my sincere hope that I spend the next 2 hours or so irritating them. I am a pastor. I, too, am one of God's secret weapons for your benefit. Yet I am quite human and not worthy to stand here before you to teach you something as miraculous as the Word of God. In many respects, I may be more confused than you about life. I have probably failed at many more things than you. I can boast of a failed 21-year marriage, a failed relationship with one of my 2 children, broken relationships with virtually every member of my nuclear family, failed businesses and failed business dealings, contentious relationships with bosses. I've been fired from jobs and from assignments several times. A failed social life, especially over the last 8 years. A life of never quite doing enough to contribute to my community. As of today, I have yet to discover a cure for any of the ills or the diseases of our society. Yet God has seen fit in his magnificent grace to make me a pastor, a minister of his gospel and his word for your benefit. And this is why every single day I labor intensely and incessantly behind the scenes of these too few and far between public appearances, which amount to about 4 hours a week, so that the messages can be constructed which give you comfort as you face the same challenges that I do. Now, if memory serves me correctly, and it may well not, this is my 50th year as a Christian. And I think it was the summer of 1963, just a few months before the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, that I first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted the established and irrevocable fact that he is who he says he is, the sovereign of the universe and the only way to salvation. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 to 7 say this, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me. If you're an unbeliever, that's fantastic news, that the sovereign of the universe will gird you, even if you don't know him. That men may know, from the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness. The one causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all of these. Now that is the statement of the God of the universe or a lunatic. See, you can't be ambivalent about the Bible. For Jesus Christ to claim that he is God and to say that he was resurrected from the dead either makes him the best truth teller ever or the biggest insane idiot ever. And you have to make a choice between the two. I've made my choice. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He's absolutely amazing. And in spite of the lies that God's enemy may be telling you through religion and legalism and the world system of thinking, KCOS, there is only one God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. The Lord Jesus Christ said to doubting Thomas, his apostle, I am the way, he was referring to salvation. I am the truth, he was referring to the Word of God. And I am the Zoe life. That's the Greek word for eternal. That's the Greek word for life. The Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life, a life that you get at the moment of salvation, not as a future event. And no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. Bold statement. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ from a very early age, at the age of 8 years old. And I believe that my conversion to Christianity came about during a traumatic event in my life. My mother was entertaining company, and I asked her if I could go out into the backyard to play. And she said, yes, but don't go out of that yard. I didn't listen. Yeah, see, that's what happens when you don't listen. That's exactly what happened. That's how I was yelling when I got hit in the head with that baseball bat. So I didn't listen. I sneaked over to the playground to play baseball with my friends. I was squatting behind one of my friends, pretending to be a Major League Baseball catcher. He was hitting pop flies out to a few of our other friends, and he never noticed that I was there behind him. He swung to hit a ball out to them, and on his follow-through, my forehead was the catcher of the barrel of his bat. I ran home, bleeding profusely, almost got hit by a car on the way across the street. My mom and her friends, who luckily had a car because we didn't, rushed me to the hospital. And I remember telling my mom on the way to the hospital that I didn't want to die. And I remember telling God that if he would just let me live, I would do whatever he wanted me to do. Well, God let me live. Now, knowing God as I do, he didn't let me live because I made a vow. He let me live because he had a plan for my life well before that, and he has been unfolding that plan for the last 5 decades. He has a similar plan for your life. It's a deep, intimate, and personal plan designed to take you through a series of trials and tribulations on your way to an eternity face to face with him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says this: after you have suffered for a little while here on earth, the God and Father of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in union with Christ, all believers are in union with Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, see, if I said that to you, that shouldn't mean much. But if the sovereign of the universe says that to you, it's not only a promise, it's an absolute guarantee. So for all of you who are going through tough times right now, for all of you who are feeling the pressure of living this life, for all of you who have too much month at the end of the money, for all of you who aren't getting exactly what you want, understand this, that those tribulations are part of the strengthening process that God is putting you through. Now, isn't that amazing? It's like going to the spiritual gym. And why do we go to the gym? We go to the gym to tear down our muscles. And then at rest, our muscles build themselves up. That's a message to you from God. That the tribulations that he provides for you tear you down, and then he asks you to rest, to get out of his way and let him do the work on your behalf. And that's exactly what he does. And he does it every time as a guarantee. In my 50-year walk in Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken me on a 21-year tour of Roman Catholicism before showing me the error of its ways. Then the Lord Jesus Christ took me on a 29-year journey through the legalism of systematic theology before showing me the error of its ways just this year. And in the time since I was in Coeur d'Alene last year, God has made it clear to me where systematic theology missed the mark of his perfect person and perfect character. It is missing love. Now, 50 years into being a Christian, I am finally ready to learn what it truly means to be a Christian without the perversions of religious and legalistic thought to hinder my knowledge of and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been nearly a four-decade teacher, and one of the things I've been saying over and over to my friends and people who are close to me is, you know, 40 years into teaching, I think I'm finally starting to get the hang of it. And that's exactly the same way I feel as a Christian. 50 years into it, I think I'm finally starting to get the hang of it. And I'm finally starting to understand what the Lord means when he says the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And I'm especially getting the simplicity part. Because in my opinion, if the Christian way of life doesn't work for a Mexican who's carrying bricks up 15 flights of stairs for $7 a day, then it doesn't work for any of us. And I will tell you that I spend quite a bit of time in Mexico, and the Christian way of life absolutely works for the Mexican who's walking up all those flights of stairs. And I have been taught more by those Mexicans than I've ever been taught by any teacher that I ever studied about the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. And I'm absolutely in awe of them and amazed by them every time I get together with them. Now, it would be easy to think that the last 5 decades has been a waste of my time. It has not been. I have been on a journey. And on that journey, I have learned how easily deceived that I am. If a person is willing to trust, then he can be deceived easily. I have been deceived. And in the process, I have misled others in some areas. It has pointed out to me the importance of accuracy when teaching the Word of God to others, which only comes from diligent study and from questioning and from not backing off of the questions because your teachers didn't like the direction that your questions were taking. I have learned in these 50 years that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior. I have learned that I am a hypocrite, one who talks from behind a mask. And furthermore, I have learned that we all are. And so we can point our fingers at other people and say they're hypocrites. But remember, whenever you're pointing your finger at anybody else, there are always 3 fingers pointing back at you. And that's what you should really think about when you're pointing your fingers at others. Yeah, it's not important so much what they're doing, but it's really important what you're doing because that's something that you have total control over, what you're choosing to do. Well, I have been deceived. And I figured out that the reason that I'm easily deceived is because I have a childlike faith. I'm willing to place my faith in my teachers. I am not one of those students who feels like he has to have an opinion on everything. And I think when you do that, you put yourself in a very vulnerable position. Luckily, I'm protected by the Savior of the universe, and in due time, he has led me to the truth. So I am a sinner, I am a hypocrite, and I've learned that God always puts the hypocrites up front to teach so that there can be no mistake about one thing, that there is only one God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of us who stand up in front of you to teach are not the Lord. Often people are bothered by this, that their teachers are hypocrites, that their teachers are human and not perfect. Yet they have no trouble studying the Bible with hypocrites. And sometimes I don't think people realize that the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the instruction set for the church age, this current period of time in divine history, was the worst sinner of all time. Why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ would pick as the replacement apostle for the apostle that betrayed him the worst person of all time? Do you think it was a message? I think it was. It was a message that it's not about your sins, which were paid for at the cross. It's about what Christ can do with you as a sinner. It was Paul's stated goal to wipe out the Christian church. Acts chapter 22, verse 4 says this, "I, Paul, persecuted the way." And that's what Christians were called in the first century, the way. Undoubtedly from John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So I, Paul, persecuted this way, Christians, to the death, binding and putting both men and women who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ into prison. Paul was so fanatic about it that he would get writs from the chief priests and scribes to be able to go into areas that weren't even in his jurisdiction. It would have been like him being in the United States and hearing that there were believers in China and flying to China to kill Christians in China. And that's what he was doing when he was on the Damascus Road when the Lord Jesus Christ knocked him off his high horse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, Paul says this, "I, Paul, am the least of the apostles, and I am not qualified to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." 1 Corinthians 15:10. Now what? 1 Corinthians 15:10. "But by the grace of God, I am and always will be what I am, a man with the spiritual gift of apostle. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, did not prove to be a bad decision, but I labored even more than all the other apostles. Yet not I doing the labor in the energy of the flesh, but the grace of God within me is doing the work." So I am clear that I am a vehicle standing here, a person whose flaws are easy to see upon close inspection. I always like it when people find out that I'm a pastor. And they say, well, you swear. Yeah. Why do you do that? Because I really like those words. I have a big vocabulary, but I actually really like those words. Well, I mean, you're kind of, you say a lot of off-color stuff. Yeah. Well, why do you do that? Because I like doing that. Because I'm a human being just like you. Well, what kind of a pastor are you? I don't know, fun one? One who wants to enjoy life? One who doesn't want to be put up in some box or pedestal that you'd like me to be in so that you feel comfortable? I don't know. I just enjoy life. I love Jesus Christ. I love his word, and I want to be myself. And I want you to be yourself. I don't think you have to dress a certain way to come to church. I think you just need to show up and enjoy yourself and relax and put your feet up and eat and have fun. So, you agree with that? There's nothing special about me, except the fact that I am willing to stand here before you flawed, to admit those flaws, and to report to you what the grace of God allows me to report for your benefit. I am simply a conduit that God has prearranged to send you a special message tonight. I'm sure you have a similar journey through this life. God has given you life. He has a perfect plan to use your imperfect life for His benefit. And I hope tonight's message will shed a ray of light on the meaning of this life for you. Because this message is about your life. First of all, are you saved? Do you know what's going to happen to you when you close your eyes in this life? This matter refers to your salvation. Second, if you were face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ right now, your Creator, you're His creature, and He asked you, "What are you doing with this life I have given you?" how would you respond? Third, how, if at all, does your life matter to others? What difference does your life make in the life of those around you? How are you influencing and contributing to the lives of others? I was having dinner with Sid, Monique, and Justin Wednesday night. It was, what? I don't care what his name is. He wasn't paying attention anyway. He wasn't paying attention anyway. This guy, he's always smiling at you. Yeah. And then he gets his thing on you. He's trying to keep it low, trying to do this. What is it? Jason? What's your name, Justin? Jason. He's Jason? Why'd you tell me he was Justin?
I said it was Jason.
Did you? Well, how'd I write down Justin? All right, I got to correct that. I don't care. I was having dinner with the wrestling kid over there. Yeah, you did say Jason. You did. So anyway, I was having dinner with Sid, Monique, and Jason Wednesday night. And Monique put it all in perspective. She said, "My life is all about faith and hope and love." Wow. Nice and simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says the same thing. But now faith, hope, and unconditional love abide in the sphere of these three. But the greatest of these is unconditional love. Wow. Faith in God for salvation. Hope. What is that? It's not hope in English. It's not 50-50. Like Monique said. It's not, I hope so. It is absolute confidence. Because you have faith in Christ, you can have the absolute confidence in yourself that you can have a life beyond your wildest dreams, even though your circumstances may indicate something different. And love, a life that makes a difference to those around you because of your involvement with them. Unconditional love, where you're not holding people around you to some list that you think they ought to be able to check off, that you're not holding them to some picture that's in your head that you think they ought to meet. Because when you have those pictures and those lists, you never let the person fulfill it. If they fulfilled everything on your list, you'd add to the list. I love these dating websites. I want a man who wants to walk with me on the beach. He wants to have wine. He wants to communicate. And he likes walking barefoot with sunsets. Yeah, right. Until you get him. Until you find out that that man who wants to do all that stuff is also committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spends 15 or 16 hours on Saturday writing three lessons so that over 100 people around the world can get the truth of the Word of God. And he doesn't have 5 minutes for you at that time. Yeah, you want him until then. See, I'm that guy. I'm romantic. I want to walk on the beach, even though I can't swim. I'll drink some wine with you. I'm a wino. And all that other stuff. But don't talk to me on Saturday. And then during football season, don't talk to me on Sunday. The rest of the week is yours. Amen? All right, then. As a matter of fact, I'm missing the Cardinals' first preseason football game right now. That's not a bad thing. So take a 10-minute break, and I'd like to share with you the things God wants you to learn tonight about this life in the sphere of faith and hope and love. Take a 10-minute break.